Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus told the disciples soon before he died, "My children," that's lovely, Jesus called the disciples his children, "for only a little while longer I'm going to be with you. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, so also you should love one another." Now they'd been told in the Old Testament, of course, to love one another. But the new commandment is to love one another as Jesus loved us. And he loved us so much that he died on the cross. So this is a totally new commandment, and it's very, very hard to obey.
Like the song.
Yeah, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Like, so this is...
not that song, like, I can only remember a little bit.
Yeah, there's lots of songs, quite lovely songs and hymns that talk about this. So this is what characterises us as Christians, as true Christians, that we love, not just in the sense of, oh, I like you, or being nice to somebody because they're nice to me, giving somebody a nice present, a birthday present, because they gave me a present, but to love each other as Jesus loved us. And he loved us while we were yet sinners. While we were still sinners, Jesus died on the cross before we even existed. So he took the initiative. That is, he made the first move to show love to us. And we are to love as he loved us. And he goes on, "By this shall all people know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Well, we must copy him.
Exactly. In loving as he loved us. And then he says some wonderful words. "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that is a verse that's worth remembering. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So that's quite different to, oh, I love you, so I'll give you a birthday present because you gave me a birthday present. That's quite different.
But what does that mean? What does that, "do I love you," mean?
Well, as he loved us. And how did he love us? Well, he took the first move. He decided to love us and to give his life for us. It means being patient, because we sin, and yet he still loves us. So that's an example of love, to be patient with someone, even while they're having a tantrum or doing something nasty to you. To love somebody even before they have shown any love for you. This is all very difficult, but it's what is so new and so totally fundamental to being a Christian.
Well, then you don't really know. Well, you have to do nothing back. I won't do something back to those to me. I'll walk away.
That's right, to walk away from someone who's done bad things to you without trying to hurt them back. That's another example of loving as Jesus did. "You are my friends," he said, "if you do what I command you. I call you no longer servants or slaves, because a slave doesn't know what his master does, but I've called you friends." That's wonderful, that we are the friends of Jesus. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me too. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place or a room for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also." Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I would lay down my life for your sake." Jesus replied, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Truly I say to you, the cock will not crow before you have denied me three times." He said to them, "When I sent you out without money and without extra shoes, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they said. He said to them, "And now he who has a purse, let him take it, and also his wallet. He who's got no sword, let him sell his jacket and buy one." And they said, "Lord, here are two swords." And Jesus said, "That is quite enough."
Well, you only have to have the two stuff, not loads of it.
That's right. We don't need too much because he will provide for us. Well, when they'd sung a hymn, they went out of the city to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all run away from me tonight, because it's written, 'I will smite the shepherd,'" that's Jesus, "'and the sheep,'" that's the disciples, "'will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go before you into Galilee.'" And again, Peter said, "Though everyone else may run away from you, I never will." Jesus said to him, "I tell you, tonight before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And again, Peter says, "Even though I should die with you, I would never deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Now, let's not be too tough on Peter, because he did deny Jesus, because they all said the same. All the disciples said, "No, no, we'll never deny you. We'll die with you." So if you've ever been let down by your friends who promised you something and then they didn't do it, well, you know that Jesus went through the same. Well, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very, very sad. He went further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." And you see there, Jesus really was not God. He had our nature, and his will was not the will of God completely, because he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." And he didn't want to die on the cross. He had all the fear of death that we have as people. And there appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like great drops of blood dropping down to the ground. He came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, Peter who had said, "I will never deny you," he said, "What, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "O Father, if this cup," he means his cup of suffering, the cross, "if it can't pass from me without me drinking it, then your will be done." He came back to the disciples and found them sleeping again. And he went away and prayed a third time and said the same words. And he came back and found them asleep again, and he said to them, "Sleep on now. The hour has come. It's enough. The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let us go. Rise up. He who is betraying me is coming." And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests. Judas had told them, "Whoever I kiss, he is the one. Hold him fast." And he came up to Jesus, and Judas said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. How awful. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" So how kind Jesus was to this awful man. He calls him friend. And then they came and grabbed Jesus. And Peter, having a sword, drew it and cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant. I expect he meant to actually cut his head off, but the servant just ducked his head in time, and Peter just cut his ear off. Jesus said to Peter, "Put up your sword again into its place, for all who take the sword will die with the sword. Don't you think that I could just pray to my Father, and he would immediately give me more than 12 legions of angels to look after him?" And Jesus touched the man's ear, whose name was Malchus, and healed him. And he said to the disciples, to the crowds, "Have you come out as if I'm a robber with swords and staves, sticks, to capture me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you never laid a hand on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets would be fulfilled. Then all the disciples ran away. Well, how sad that they were so weak. But we are weak as well. But we read about their failure and we promise that we will try to be stronger.
But it was Peter really who did all the work afterwards.
That's right. So he was truly sorry, just as we should be truly sorry for wherein we fail just like them and even worse. And we respond to that as he did by preaching the gospel and caring for people.
He wanted to cut his head off. Well, he...
He tried to cut the man's head off.
He was really, really sure to be chained on the cross.
Yeah, he really wanted to show himself so zealous for Jesus, but he was weak. And it's just like us. We are really the same. But, as we know with Peter, Jesus used him, and Jesus forgave him.